The incessant use of smartphones and other technologies has addictive qualities. New York Times bestselling author Adam Alter explores how tech companies market products that hook teens and what parents can do about it. KUNR's On Gray spoke with him about his new book, Irresistible: The Rise of Addictive Technology and the Business of Keeping Us Hooked.
Your book, Irresistible, focuses on how companies are creating technology and products that are addictive. What did your research find?
The essential question the book explores is whether you can make a product addictive in the same way as you might make a substance or a drug addictive. And the bottom line is the answer seems to be yes, that if you have access to the right kinds of data to run the right kinds of analyses, and you also have the right theories about how humans are driven to engage, you can actually create products that are very difficult for humans to resist. If you speak to tech titans themselves, the people who create a lot of these products, they're very, very careful about how they use them at home and how much they allow their kids to access them. Anytime you see people say one thing publicly and behave differently privately, especially when they're experts, that pushes you to ask further questions. And so that really was one of the main, I guess, facts that inspired me to study this question.
What do you think is the most concerning thing you've seen that companies do to get us addicted?
One of the most insidious is what Snapchat does with its streaks. So what happens on Snapchat is if I communicate with someone and they communicate back with me on the same day, I send them a snap, they send one back. That's considered one day. If I do that again the following day, that's a two-day streak. I do it a third day, that's a three-day streak. And what's happening with a lot of teens is they build up these considerable streaks into tens of days, then hundreds of days. And the sense of loss that comes from losing a streak that's that long is huge. Streaks are very insidious that way because obviously the more time you invest into creating them, the more you have to lose. And so this basically is a really stark illustration of how these companies are building features in that are not at all about our personal well-being. We don't derive well-being from the streak. What we derive is a sense that we've got something that's quite precarious and that we're going to lose it. And so we end up making decisions that are not at all about making us happy or healthy or any positive effect. I think that's one of the most insidious examples. When you talk to teens, a lot of them report that sense of urgency that comes with the idea that they might lose those streaks.
Since technology is an integral part of everyday life, what are your recommendations then for parents on how to balance the use of technology in their families?
Communication is absolutely critical. I think when kids see their parents as being completely alien to the experiences they're having, you know, if a parent doesn't understand what Facebook is or Instagram or Snapchat or a particular video game, it makes the conversation very difficult to have. They're speaking different languages. One of the things I recommend to parents is you don't want to intrude on your child's life on that particular platform, but it's worth actually opening up your own account and just seeing what the features look like, you know, to know why it might be that there's some charm to Snapchat or to Instagram or to Facebook, so you don't just feel like there's something wrong with the younger generation. You actually have a sense of exactly what they're experiencing. Another really useful basic idea is to use what's known as behavioral architecture techniques. So if you think about how an architect might design a building for its function and for, you know, for beauty and for other things, we have the same power over our own local environments. So the way you design your home or what you put in your home or where things sit in your home has a huge effect on your psychological experience of the world. If you have a screen in your pocket all the time or next to your bed on the bedside table or in your bedroom, that means you will have the constant temptation of wanting to pick up the screen and having to resist it. If you build in time where you purposely lock your screen in a drawer in a different room or put it in a different room altogether or leave it at home, there is no temptation. It doesn't exist. So the more time you can build away from your screen where there's physical distance between you and the screen is the better. And what's interesting is people report that that period of time where they're separated from the screen is richer and they start to look forward to it. A lot of them end up expanding that period where they're away from the screen. And these people who go through that process, obviously it's difficult to make that change in the beginning, but if you stick with it, the habit ends up rewarding you and people seem to live better lives that way.
Adam Alter, thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Anne.